Hello, and welcome to the Open Systems Media eCast 26 Ways to Recover, Who's Afraid of Losing a VM? I'm Kurt Schwader, your moderator, with today's speaker, Rick Vanover from Veeam Software. Today's schedule consists of about 40 minutes of presentation, leaving 10 minutes at the end of the hour for audience Q&A. Before we begin, I'd like to run down some important features of your viewing console. First is the Enlarge Slides button. This button will maximize the slides to fill your entire screen. The Download Slides button allows you to download and print the slides if you'd like a hard copy to follow along with. The button labeled Forward to a Friend enables you to send an email to someone that will include a registration link so they can also attend. The Ask a Question text box enables you to participate in today's event. You simply type your question into the box and submit it using the Submit button. You can submit a question at any time during the presentation. We encourage you to do so early and often while you're looking at the material and the question is fresh in your mind. We'll address as many of these as we can during the closing Q&A, and if you have a question pertaining to the eCast operation itself, you can submit those too, and one of our technicians will be happy to respond to you during the eCast. We have Rick Vanover here with us today. He is the Product Strategy Specialist and Community Manager at Veeam Software. Rick has years of experience in IT and in the professional realm, and he is also a writer, blogger, VMV expert, VMware certified professional, and Microsoft certified professional, IT professional, and systems administrator. He's held a variety of system and infrastructure technical and management positions and also hosts the Veeam Community Podcast, which is a weekly podcast that focuses on IT and data center technology and current events. Rick, thanks for joining us today, and the floor is yours.
Thanks, Kurt, and thanks, everyone, for attending today. I know you're busy and you have a lot of things going on, so to spend part of your day with me, I feel honored. I'm going to make this time worth your while. And when Kurt was reading that bio, it looks great when I write that, but oh, goodness, it sounds crazy when it's read out like that. But, guys, I'm like you. I deal with stuff, and one of the things that I deal with is when things do not go as expected. How do you get out of a problem? So as Kurt kind of mentioned, I am involved in a lot of stuff. I'm a technical person. I work for Veeam, sponsor of this webcast. But even if you're not a Veeam customer, you're going to walk out of here with good, concise information about how to restore from stuff. I blog at Virtualization Review, a couple other places, Cisco, VMware, Microsoft, designations as well. Let's get into it. Now, if you're like me, your data center, your infrastructure really is the delivery mechanism for what I want to call the always-on business. Now, the always-on business really is a number of things that have happened recently. For one, there have been a raised level of expectations. People want their applications, their data, anywhere, anytime, and additional ways of access. Maybe mobile phones, right, that we've all had to deal with that, and applications on mobile devices. But in the end, or in the beginning, depending on which way you look at it, it's all built on our data center investments. Now, I'm not going to call it a cloud, right, but our data center, our infrastructure, our apps and services, that's what it's all about. All of our stakeholders have this high expectation. What do we need to do to meet their expectations? Well, the answer is the modern data center. Now, there's the data center, and then there's the modern data center. Now, this modern data center has a few characteristics. For one, it can help you when things go wrong, right? That's what I deal with mostly. But it's also a great mechanism to help you when you want to deploy new workloads. You remember the days when you had to wait weeks to order equipment to deploy a new server for a new application for your teams in times past? Those times are gone. With virtualization and advanced storage technologies, network technologies, you can deliver workloads literally at the speed of the business. Now, I'd actually challenge that there's an expectation that you can recover just as fast. And I'd actually go so far as if you take some of the things I'm talking about seriously, you can actually recover just as fast as well. Now, when we talk about protection for this modern data center, and when we have some of these characteristics, again, highly virtualized, for example, you can do things when it comes to backup that you weren't able to do in decades past and even years past, even currently if you don't take the right approach. So let's take a look at that in a little bit differently, from a different perspective. So when you talk about backup or recovery, I like to look at a categorical approach. What type of recovery? What type of data loss? It's one thing to say the server is down. I'll be honest with you. Today, I don't get that type of discussion that much. It's more a data issue or application issue or file issue or infrastructure issue. I love this new server and storage arrangements that I've been putting in, but you know what? Sometimes they do go wrong. What do I do when the sand fails? What do I do when we have a deleted virtual machine? This is the biggest one. I have trouble, conveying the risk. It's very easy for an administrator to deploy a new workload. But what about restoring it, much less the whole virtual machine, much less if we're talking about multiple terabytes? We can't tell the business that we can't restore. You know that. What we can do, however, is take the right approach to how we can do our restores. Now, everything from that bad day of an infrastructure failure, like you lost your storage network or you lost the SAN, those would be very bad days. But there's also administration errors. Like if I'm a VMware or a Hyper-V administrator and I right-click and say delete rather than power on, that's a bad day as well. But at least it would be contained a little bit towards one object, one virtual machine. Same goes for the bad script, right? If you've been listening to a lot of, preferences by all the virtualization vendors, they fancy doing some automation, Power CLI, PowerShell, things like that. The vSphere command, Power CLIs can be a great way that you can interact with the hosts at the command line level. ESX CLI, even specifically on a host in the SSH interface, for example. What if you had a bad script? Okay, so the impact is pretty deep is what I'm trying to get to. And then, of course, users will be users, but those same users who do that delete or a data issue, data handling issue incorrectly, you can't turn around and tell them, no, we can't restore. So the dilemma is that it's a classic paradigm, right? There's the infrastructure teams versus the applications. Users, again, will be users, but everything needs to be quick. Now, this paradigm, I think we've had forever. And what I mean by that is, it's like, well, I'll just take I'll give you a storage example, right? If you've ever talked to a storage administrator, or maybe even if you are a storage administrator, don't worry, I've snapped the whole LUN, for example. You might have heard that phrase, right? Well, okay, great. Well, let me have that snap back. Try to get that back. Let me know how easy that is, especially if you just need an email message. You can quickly see the point of there's a great disconnect between the usability of what we want from an application, yet the broad reach of infrastructure solutions. So this paradigm, this dilemma, has been around forever, and it's a certain amount of comfort. Yeah, sure, I have the whole LUN. Okay, well, that's good. Let me actually use it as, again, a decision. If I did go down that route, how long would it take me to get that one email that I deleted or the CEO deleted, for example? If I had to mount a storage snapshot of an Exchange virtual machine, for example, and I've never done it before, you could see that it might be a little bit of work. Hopefully, you've gone through the drill. But the thing I want to highlight is that we are in 2014. We want you to have some restore options. And I wrote a blog post about this very topic that a lot of times I just go down the list. What could go wrong, you know? It's a long list of what could go wrong, and I want to have ways out of this jam. So if you lost a host, right, for example, in the Hyper-V or vSphere discussion, that's a pretty broad-reaching failure if you're consolidating at 15 or 20 or higher to one host, right, or maybe even 60. I was talking to a guy last week, around 100 VMs on average per host. It's all new equipment, right? The processor, memory, and interconnects are really high, so he can do that, but the important thing to note is that's a huge amount of workloads on one host. What about things like updates going bad? I love this example. Some administrators I know simply don't update just to avoid this risk, and then introduce a security person to the conversation, and it goes another direction very quickly. SharePoint items, email messages, files off of a Linux file system, a line of a SQL stored procedure, these are very hard things to restore. I'm convinced you can do it today. And, of course, Beam can help you. We can protect you in all these different ways. Yet, as an infrastructure person, as a VMware or Hyper-V administrator, you can do all this agentlessly. And I'll get to that here in a little bit. But what we need to also think about is this agentless backup. Can we have it all, right? Agentless backups, historically, were the administrative holy grail. And what I meant by that was it did not matter what happened inside of that virtual machine. So I've been advocating agentless backups for a while. That's part of my role here at Veeam. But I always supplement that conversation with the three objective questions I get. The infrastructure team, they love agentless backups. They don't have to know anything about what's going on. Now, the application administrator, they're not so wild about that. Now, there's two sides to that story. Well, at least two sides to that story. And what I mean by that is the enlightened application administrator, they might be doing their own application backups anyways. And or the other side of the discussion is that the application administrator will offer these three questions. What about application consistency? What about log truncation? And what about granular recovery? Each one of these three are critical and can get in the way of a successful backup and cause you issues before you even think about it historically with that agentless backup. And the other thing is, this can apply to multiple operating systems. A lot of times I used to say, well, this is a good Windows discussion, right? Well, yeah, it is. What about Linux, right? A lot of environments have this one Linux system, especially predominantly Windows shops, right? They have this one Linux app that they didn't really have a choice. They just support it. Well, if you leverage the framework, especially if it's virtualized, again, you can still have it all. I'm convinced. I know you can. I've got resources and stories that get you there. So I'm going to give you an example that many of us probably all agree that we have as an application, Microsoft Exchange, okay? Exchange is one of those applications that a lot of people have it, right? Everyone has their stories of how they've had issues with it. But you know that you need to truncate those logs because it'll grow uncontrollably. Of course, you might need to restore just an email message or find a contact that someone deleted, for example. But additionally, you need to do so in a way that is application consistent. So application consistent is the holy grail of backup consistency logic. There is this other one you might have heard called crash consistent. Well, consistent is a good word, but not so much crash. So you want to have it all. I'm convinced you can. I have an example here from Bobby. Now, Bobby, who tweeted this, he actually gave us permission to reproduce this tweet. His logic here is that he ran this exchange tool that we have, and he was able to restore a message in 58.39 seconds. Now, the funny thing is, I don't know how he got it to the 39-second mark. I don't know how. The log doesn't tell you that much detail. He must have, or the interface doesn't tell you that much detail. He must have been looking at the log, or possibly his stopwatch came out. But basically, this tool is actually a free tool. Now, I'm very much an advocate of giving you tools that can help you do your job. What Bobby did here, Veeam Explorer for Exchange, is a free tool that's included with Veeam Backup Free Edition. So even if you don't, you know, use Veeam, you can benefit on this tool. Veeam Explorer for Exchange is one of the ways that you can restore a Exchange item. And it does so in, again, application-consistent way, which is very important. But then you can also search. Okay, so it's one thing to, okay, here's my message that I'm looking for and restore it. But what about SharePoint? What about storage snapshots? I can actually do these types of things this easy. In Bobby's words, I don't have time to, you know, tell you all of these tools that we have. We have 26 ways to restore. This is one of them. This is probably the most important one. Email, arguably, is a lot of our most consistent Tier 1 app. Now, here's a look inside of Veeam Explorer for Exchange. Again, the same type of tools repeated for storage snapshots, Active Directory, SharePoint, and soon with our next version, Active Directory and SharePoint are coming. Now, I was looking for an email in this Exchange database from Darth Vader. Now, this example, hopefully you all can appreciate. This is a test mail server. But I wanted to know who this gentleman was soliciting to that comes out of dark side. You might get it. What I see here is that I have at the very top a little search bar. I just searched for Darth, and I got all of the results of communication to this individual from my exchange organization. Imagine you don't know what you're looking for. Imagine you get a request from your legal department. Who sent this email to this party at some point last month? That's a very difficult question to ask, isn't it? Much less answer. So this tool, Theme Explorer for Exchange, will simply crack open your Exchange database and provide you your own search interface through here. You can build custom criteria to that very point, between these dates, to and from these people, with or without attachments, containing these keywords, all kinds of searchability. Again, this is free. Now, the only hitch, the only catch is, why would it be free, right? Well, our free offering for Veeam Explorer for Exchange in this example allows you to open, search, send these found items as attachments, and build out a PST if you wanted to, possibly to retire a terminated employee, for example. Now, if you wanted to inject it back into the mailbox, that's the only catch. It is required that a paid edition is used for that task. But then again, this free tool, if you're an Exchange administrator or if you have SharePoint or if you have storage systems, left-hand 3PAR or soon-to-be NetApp, these types of usable examples are very much solving needs for people today. Now, those are really cool, and they come from an agentless backup. Now, I like the agentless backup for that very reason. You can do some additional things. In the case of Veeam, we put a lot of intelligence on the restore and really take, minus what the platforms give us from vSphere and Hyper-V, we take a pretty simple backup, but then we put a very advanced restore in place. But probably I want to offer this point more like advice, is when you go about the restore scenarios, don't limit yourself to, say, 2005-style restores. And what I mean by that is, what do you do when you lost your SAN or deleted the virtual machine? That's one discussion. But what about if you did need just an email back? Do you have to bring back that whole virtual machine? I'd say no. And I have a technology that we have with Veeam and a lot of other products too, for that matter. So this has kind of become very popular. The notion of an instant VM recovery. What do you do when you delete a VM and it was the wrong VM? So I got Tim's example here, and again, he let me reproduce this as well. But basically, he got a virtual machine up and running in 20 seconds, and he was happy. Now, let me explain how this might work. What we have here is, over on the left, we'll have a multi-tiered application. Let's say we have a database, web server, and a the actual application server. And let's say that the database broke, and you know how multi-tiered apps work. They need everything. So if the database broke or deleted or was somehow failed, what's going to happen? Users are going to come in and not be so happy. Now, Tim's example of instant VM recovery was that he was able to get that virtual machine back up and running. Did you see what he said? He said 20 seconds. That's actually quicker than our published number. So what he did is he launched this notion of instant VM recovery with Veeam, and he was actually able to get this machine back up and running, in his case, 20 seconds. Now, let me explain what happens here. It's great. Everything's green, nice arrows. But from a compute, memory, and network perspective, that virtual machine that had failed is now running on the production VMware or Hyper-V host. From a storage perspective, it's running on the backup that he's taken. Now, it's fundamentally different than how we've ever had backups done, much less restores, right? So historically, what would you do in a restore scenario? You'd move the data back and make it available. We've done the opposite here. We've made it available, and then we're going to move it back. And what I mean by that is we're going to migrate it online back to the production storage. Because we're in a virtualized world, we don't have these rules, right? We can emulate the restore process in a way. I have the virtual machine in my backup. I will just tell the host, hey, there's a virtual machine here. Here's its disk. We have a patent on this technology, and it's been repeated in other products But the important thing to note is customer first. They got up and running very quickly. This is a great way that, you know, if you don't know what your restore options, this one right here can really save the day. I have nothing but evidence in the form of case studies and happy customers that tell me that this is the way to go for today. And that also is really advice. Whatever you're using, Veeam or otherwise, you know, take the time to learn your product. Know what it takes to do these extra options. Go through the drill outside of a crisis. It's time. It's a pretty good investment if you ask me. Now, I'd also offer in the realm of advice, when you go about your backups, this will help you on the restores, but when you go about your backups, make sure you don't forget a virtual machine. Now, there's a lot of good things about the modern data center, but there's also a risk that things can come into play, aka a new virtual machine made, too quickly. So much so that it might not even be backed up. Even before virtualization, I've had that awkward conversation with my application team when they asked me to restore something that I didn't even know was in production, much less existed, right? So don't have those situations come up. And my recommendation to do that is to back up at a container level. So if you're using vSphere and Hyper-V, or both, or either, it doesn't matter, they both have constructs. Okay, so the notion of a data center, the notion of a cluster, a data store, a VApp, a folder, those types of things where virtual machines will arrive can be the source of a backup job. A lot of products do this as well. Of course, Veeam does. But basically, if you make your backup job, for example, called production VMs, and I will back up every VM that's on the SAN, maybe that's my policy. So if I have three data stores on shared storage, for example, I'd make one job for each data store. Very simple. I do not have to put agents in every VM. I do not have to, hey, guys, what app is that? What are you running there? Is it a virtual machine? Yeah, sure. Fine. It's already in the job. The best part is that your organic growth of your organic of your modern data center, that organic growth, is protected automatically. So the day one, the data store backup job would run, and every VM that's inventoried on that data store is backed up. On day two, I add the 31st virtual machine on that data store, for example. Then when the backup job runs, it'll say, hey, we have a new VM. It's inventoried on this data store. Let's protect it. Very easy to use. It'll protect you. And I don't want to be like the person in this photo here. I wish I didn't forget to back up the VMs. It's kind of like leaving your house and wondering if you've shut the garage door. Tell me you haven't done it. This particular scenario around virtual machine backups, that's the type of stuff that's going to help us sleep at night. So please, give it some thought. So at the root of what I wanted to talk about here today is have options. Veeam can help you, as other products can as well, but I'm convinced nobody can deliver 26 ways to restore from one agentless backup. So everything from moving files back, the Veeam Explorer things that I was talking about, both for Exchange, SharePoint, and the storage snapshots one, that's an interesting one. I use that example a number of times because I think we all have our expertise in different things. VMware and Hyper-V for many people is an acquired technology. They may not have started their IT practice around those types of technologies, but they may have a storage background. So I use the storage snapshot example because, again, the usability of them is very critical to the overall expectation that your clients have. So I'm bridging the gap from the infrastructure, something that is fundamental as a storage snapshot, all the way to the expectation that an end user has on their application data on their phone, right? This is the full spectrum here. So again, with the free, Veeam Backup Free Edition has Veeam Explorer for storage snapshots included for free. So if you have a left hand or a three-part array, we're able to read storage snapshots and do not quite 26 restore scenarios from that, but we can do things like launch a whole VM, Veeam Explorer for Exchange, file recovery, Linux, Windows, and other, as well as bring the whole virtual machine back. It's just really a powerful option. Later this year, we're going to include NetApp into that offering as well. NetApp is not available yet for our storage snapshot integration. It's expected this quarter, so very soon. But other things, vCloud Director metadata, if you're using that, that's actually a very difficult thing to restore. And it's a, if you don't have an Enlightened tool, and it's a very difficult thing to reset up. So if you have a tool that's aware of it, keep it in mind. And then additionally, I like the ability to restore, you know, things like a SQL stored procedure. If you had to get in and get that, it's very difficult. It could require all kinds of data being moved back. We have this thing called a virtual lab, great technique, where and other products have a virtual lab, to be fair, a great technique to test those scripts. Look at the stored procedure from yesterday. Test your group policy updates, all kinds of things. Really encourage you to check out these options. So, of course, things like a file are easy, yeah, especially if you know which file you're looking for. But if you don't know which file you're looking for, how easy is it to restore then? So have some options, and whatever you're using for your data protection solution, take a moment, write down a list. How many different ways can you restore? Now, I like to qualify and say agentless, right, because as an infrastructure person, that's my preference. But you, maybe as an application or a hybrid role, person of all trades, maybe you want agents. That might be fine. Maybe you want application scripted backups. That might be fine. But know what your options are. Whatever you're using for data protection, know how to get out of a jam. So along those lines, I just want to encourage you to not settle for status quo. And when I say status quo, something failed, bring the whole thing back. That's status quo. Maybe you deleted an email. Let me bring that email back. That's status quo. I'm going to challenge you to do more with your backups than you might have thought possible. And I'm going to give you an example from Phil. And again, I did get Phil's permission to reproduce this tweet. But Phil has determined that BeamShore backup is indeed awesome. He used it to test his upgrade to vSphere 5.1. So the virtual lab is meant as a recovery verification technique, but it also is a great place to do the tests of those scripts that I was just mentioning. So what Phil did is he used the virtual lab to upgrade a critical application, vSphere 5, in his case, to 5.1. Now, if you use vSphere, you'll remember that was a little bit of a tougher upgrade. We introduced vCenter single sign-on. So that was like a new thing, right? How many times did you have to go out and read the release notes this time? You didn't just put in, mount the ISO and go. It was a little bit more involved. If you have a multi-tiered application, it's very difficult to do tests. Let me go back to the diagram here. So let's take Phil's example, a multi-tiered application. Let's say it's the vCenter server, the database, and then an authentication mechanism. And, you know, it uses LDAP from Active Directory, right? So a three-tiered application, in the case of vCenter server, which is really the availability mechanism for his data center, very critical app, much less Active Directory, right? You don't want to go messing with that either. So what Phil did is he took his backups with Veeam, and so those were over there on the right in the compressed and deduplicated backup file. And I mentioned that through our vPower technology, this is actually meant to be a recovery verification technique. But what actually happens is in the virtual lab, all three of those virtual machines are running from their backup. Much like the recovery scenario I talked about earlier, he's actually got the vCenter server, the database, and Active Directory running in this virtual lab. Then, again, it's made as a recovery technique, the verification job doesn't just make sure that they power on. The verification job is going to make sure that the virtual machine heartbeat is okay, the application start up as expected, and that the IP networking of the VMs is correct. If you still don't trust it, I saw a person introduce a script, a CheckDB script, that actually would go into the SQL Server database and do a CheckDB, and it returned a code. He was happy, and that's all sent in an automated report. Now, what Phil did is leave that virtual lab running. So from a memory and a compute standpoint, they're running on the production vSphere host. This is also available for Hyper-V, by the way. From a storage perspective, they're running on the backup storage. But from a networking perspective, we've actually reproduced the production network inside of an isolated virtual lab. So specifically, it's a virtual switch with no interfaces assigned to it. Okay, that's what it is. In VMware, and then in Hyper-V, it would be a
a private virtual switch. No, I'm sorry, internal virtual switch, because it doesn't talk to the host. So what happens here is that Phil left the virtual lab running, and he mounted the ISO in there for the next version of vSphere, did the test, and looked up what he needed to look up about single sign-on, and dropped in whatever he needed so that when he went into production, he had no surprises. I can't tell you the number of examples, folks, where the virtual lab can help people out in their day-to-day. I encourage you to check it out. That's my challenge of don't settle for the status quo. This is not stuff that you usually expect from your backup product. It can be used as an additional way to recover. It can actually even give you that peace of mind knowing that these three critical or more virtual machines are indeed recoverable. A good example is a virtual machine that is powered on all the time. It maybe only has a maintenance window once a year, for example. We all have them that important, right? What if you had a problem that isn't manifested until the reboot, like a chunk of the Windows registry missing, for example, or somebody has messed up the Linux comp file? The virtual lab would catch that the very next day. Very powerful technology, folks. Encourage you to check it out. So how do we get this done, right? We talk about the frameworks that VMware and Hyper-V bring us. If your backup product is not leveraging those, if you're virtualized, you really, really should think about that. The additional X factor are the storage snapshots, which might come in to give you ultra-quick RPOs as well. One of them is Volume Shadow Copy Services, or VSS in Windows, a great application consistency framework, if you've not heard of it. But basically, it's a writer that talks to a provider that deals with a requester, and the application, the OS, and the backup software are all on the same page when it comes time for the backup. Everything from, okay, let's prepare, stop the transactions. Then what Veeam can do, and others as well, is come in and talk to the infrastructure, get a point-in-time view of that virtual machine, move on, and tell VSS to resume. It's a great framework, works for apps and the Hyper-V environments as well. Now, on the vSphere side, we have a very advanced set of APIs called the vSphere APIs for Data Protection, or VADP. They're a great framework where you can move data from your infrastructure directly over storage fabrics and send some situations for your virtualized machines. Veeam fully supports the vSphere APIs for Data Protection, and it can deliver up to the 26 restore scenarios that we talked about. So I want you to think about Veeam, but I also want you to think about the options you have with your backup products. We've got a lot of features. I don't really want to go through all of them. In fact, these are just the new ones on the right. If you're using Data Domain, we have some good stuff coming there, some backup from storage snapshot engine improvements as well. Additionally, the new Explorers, Active Directory, and SQL will really help out. Updated Explorers for Exchange and SharePoint. As well as some new replica stuff. And that's all in addition to the instant VM recovery example that we spoke of earlier. And if you have any questions about Veeam, of course, go over to veeam.com. We can deal with you there. If you have any questions, download a trial, download the free edition that I spoke of. And if you're really taking the availability seriously for your modern data center, I'd encourage you to check out Veeam On. It's a industry event that we're starting this year in October in Las Vegas. A lot of people are going to be there. We're looking forward to that. So with that, we're going to turn over to questions here. But the real takeaway is if you have anything about Veeam, go to veeam.com. But also, I'm pretty active on Twitter. You can tweet at me directly at Rick Vanover, and I also respond on behalf of my team to the Veeam Twitter account, which is at Veeam. So, Kurt, did anybody stay awake, or do we have any questions?
Yeah, great presentation, Rick. Really appreciate it. This is the Q&A portion, so we encourage the audience to submit questions as we go along. This is your chance to ask questions of Rick and some recovery VM loss scenarios that you may have encountered. Let's start with this question. Does the free edition have any limits? You mentioned one. Maybe you can kind of go through the differences between the free edition and the paid edition.
Sure. So there are some limitations with the free. For one, all virtual machine backup jobs are not scheduled. That's the big one. And then it's one at a time. The paid edition, of course, it's multiple VMs and, of course, an advanced scheduler. So that's the big difference for the backup. free edition, paid versus non-paid, and then some of the restore scenarios aren't covered in free edition. But I have a great tweet from one person who said that the free edition does better than his paid product. So I encourage you to check it out, put it in the lab, much less a trial.
Okay, interesting. So there's a question about other things. You mentioned NAS and how the storage disconnect can get dealt with and recovered. What about specialized applications that may be opening sockets and when the failure happens, you've got to deal with broken TCP pipes, the wait for timeouts and sockets not being able to be used again, maybe other kinds of external I.O. that's kind of in limbo when the failure happens. Are there any kind of special I.O. or socket kinds of failure recovery things that you've encountered in your travels and how
well,
to deal
you know,
with those?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of things that can go wrong. One thing that I kind of challenge people is know who to talk to about the application. A lot of times we can't just solve infrastructure problems with application or the other way around. Can't solve application problems with infrastructure. So, you know, having awareness of where these connections need to go is very important, and it really depends. You know, you have to wait for a timeout. It's very possible you could recover too quickly in certain situations. So I don't have any specific examples that I can share that might help there, but chances are that application, you might not be the first one using it. So find like user forums. A good example is a Veeam forum. Spiceworks is another good example. Search for what people are talking about related to that application. Chances are someone's got a script or a story to share.
Right. It's interesting that sometimes the applications, I suppose, are application writers kind of developing a, this is what you need to know if you're running this within a virtual machine context. So there's kind of a recipe, or when you say go look, are the forums the application developer, the company itself, I suppose, are the only resources you really have to get that information?
It depends on the app, but generally the software vendor is, I guess, the most authoritative on that. But you know what? Don't underestimate what other people are doing. I've found incredible architectures from end users and end user forums. I've found a lot of people have gone through the same problems, yet have found, you know, I don't want to say creative ways around it, but, you know, there's something to be said for community.
Yeah, true. So they'll reach out to the community and somebody will have an answer. What about Linux VMs? How are they backed up and restored? Are they any different from Microsoft? How do you compare and contrast that?
Oh, yeah, they are different for one. And I would also go so far as to say that Linux isn't necessarily a second-class citizen. But what I would say is that the framework that is available, like give you the VMware example, it actually supports Linux VMs. In fact, VMware has an incredible list of Linux distros that are supported. So then more specifically for the application consistency part, there's this notion of pre-freeze and post-thaw start and stop scripts within VMware tools. Those can be set to, for example, put the Oracle database in hot backup mode. I get that question all the time. So I point people to forums, to, you know, white papers and little tech notes that identify how to do it, but the resources are there for Linux, absolutely.
Okay. Here's someone with a large, complex, multi-tiered application, and they're wondering, can they do restores of it agentlessly?
So, yeah, they, at least in the Veeam example, you can. It would require the virtual lab. You know, the example that Phil did, the test of his vSphere, vCenter server upgrade. So in the case of the virtual lab, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. There's also a question, and this is a little bit related, in terms of how can an agentless backup give me application restore? So maybe this speaks to, okay, you can restore the VM in terms of restoring the applications and if there are any special requirements there.
Well, in the case of the in that situation, the intelligence is on the restore. So I would recommend that, you know, if you think about, if you have the file system of the virtual machine that's application consistent and properly prepared, we would want to be able to do things on restore. Keep the backup simple, put all the logic under restore. You know, from that mindset, things like Veeam Explorers and advanced file level recovery, those types of things really make it easy.
Okay. So what about application ordering? Like if the sequencing is important for the restoration, can you specify, you know, launching applications after the VM's recovered in a specific order or anything like that?
Yeah, there's a lot of flexibility on restore sequencing in a number of different ways, and then at least in the Veeam example. And then for things like the Explorers, that wouldn't really be the case. It would be that it's not automated, I should say. So if it was a whole virtual machine, yes, there's sequencing options, but in the case of specific things like files or email messages, there isn't sequencing options, I believe. I'm not 100% positive, but I'm pretty sure that's the case.
Okay, great. And just before we close here, I was wondering about your weekly podcast. And you do a podcast, and you're really talking about data center, the modern data center, and challenges and technical requirements in that arena. Is that what the podcast is about?
Yeah, I love podcasting. The Veeam Community Podcast we just crossed 100 episodes, which is a great milestone. But I have been doing that ever since I started at Veeam, and then before that I was co-host of InfoSmack and Virtumania for those old-timers around here. But the podcast, especially the Veeam podcast, with the exception of episode 100, is about the community. It's not about Veeam. It's about our guests. We talk about consumer tech. We talk about data center tech. We talk about storage, networking, application, virtualization, this, that. Really ought to check it out at veeam.com/podcast.
Okay, great. That'll bring us to the end of today's eCast. I want to thank you, Rick, for sharing your expertise and insights on data center reliability recovery and VM recovery. We at Open Systems Media and Veeam also want to thank you, the audience, for attending today and contributing those questions remotely. This eCast will be posted online at the URL shown on your screen within 24 hours, and an audio-only podcast version will also be made available there. You can do a web search with the keywords embedded, space, e-cast, and find all of Open Systems Media eCasts available for download as MP3s. Thanks for attending, and have a great day.